You're listening to Flip Empire, the show committed to helping real estate entrepreneurs who want to build their empire without sacrificing their life. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Go into your dark side, pay the freight, lean into it. These are just three quotes that you're going to hear in this 46, 47 minute podcast episode with my good friend, Steven Johnson. I want to welcome you to the Flip Empire Show. My name is Alex Pardo. And guys, you're about to hear a podcast that was just very vulnerable and transparent. I thought it was going to go in a certain direction. I thought we were going to be talking a lot about creative financing because Steven is an expert when it comes to structuring deals. He's done several hundred deals in his career. He came from the corporate world. He got started back in 2012. And he had major life events in the early 2000s and then in 2020, 2021 that really shaped the course of his life. I think one of the reasons I'm so grateful for this platform is because I get to introduce you to people like Steven, and we get to share with you adversity, like real life adversity and challenges, and how your mindset leading in and coming out of those situations can really shape, alter, and change the course of your life, right? In the direction that you're going in. So while we do talk some shop, we go a lot deeper. And I think what you're about to hear is what you're supposed to hear. But I encourage you to really plug into this podcast episode because there's so much wisdom. There's so much juice that can be extracted from the wisdom that Steven shares and just some of the stories that we both reflect on. And so with that being said, I want to go ahead and transition right into the podcast with my good friend, Steve. What's going on, my friends? I got an incredible podcast episode here for you today. We've just recently crossed over the 700 podcast mark. And I was looking back, Steven and I were just talking. I had my good friend, Steven Johnson, who I'm about to introduce you to, back on podcast 392. So we'll include a link in the show notes where we were talking about creative financing and how he was able to make $43,000 on a dead lead. So one of the things we're about to talk about on the podcast today is creative financing. So Steven is an expert in that. But before we get into that, we're going to go so much deeper than just creative financing. So I want you to stick with us on this entire podcast. Even though Steven and I have been good friends for about 4.5, 5, maybe 6 years at this point, like many of my really good friends, he and I met through a mastermind. We've spent some quality time together, myself, his beautiful wife, in Guatemala, and just connecting, having deep conversations. I consider him somebody to be very forward-thinking, philanthropist, very giving, and just one of the thought leaders in our space without being somebody who's really always out there and hitting the stage, but just quality dude that is a very successful, active real estate investor and somebody who has a lot to contribute. So my aim and my goal is always to bring just real people on this show. It doesn't mean they're an author or a speaker or a podcaster, whatever, but just quality individuals that value life, want to give and impact others, and have leveraged real estate as the vehicle to live their life, to live their vision, to fulfill their passions and the God-given gifts. And I think Steven embodies every single part of that. As I was reading his bio, I realized how much I have in common from being married to have being a girl dad, two beautiful girls, lifestyle investor. We love to travel. We're adventurers. He comes from a corporate world and corporate background. So did I. And one of the things we're also going to touch on today's podcast is a major life event that he had, a huge adversity that would have really knocked most people out. And yet, because of his mindset and because of how he chose to view what happened to him, he turned what many consider a liability, huge adversity, into a major asset. And I think we'll get into it, but I'm pretty confident that's part of the reason that he's been so successful and he's happy and fulfilled. We're also going to talk about challenges and life lessons. So just wanted to foreshadow a bit. With that being said, dude, I can't believe I had you on episode 392. And now we're into the 700s, man. So welcome back on the show, Steven.
Thank you so much. What a great intro, man. I'm so honored to be here. It feels good to hear all those good things. Thank you, Alex.
You know me, dude, so I don't have to say this, but I'm genuine when I say it. I'm not just giving you an introduction here. I genuinely mean that. And what's cool is how I reached out to you less than, 4 days ago? And now you're on the show, you're like, let's rock and roll. Let's do this, man.
Let's get it done.
Yeah, man. So look, people can go back and listen to episode, I think it's 392. And we kind of get into your story, how you got into real estate. You were primarily focused on single family, and I know you've transitioned into storage, and I'm sure that will come up in the conversation. But dude, I want to kind of start with the end in mind, and we'll reverse engineer the process and work our way back. But As you look at your journey as an entrepreneur over the course of the last 10 plus years or so, I think you got started, I want to say in 2012, I think is when you got started. As you kind of look back and reflect, and I don't know when was the last time you did this, but maybe it's a perfect opportunity to do so. What are some of the major things that have jumped out at you that have shaped you into the man you are, into the leader, father, husband? Like, how has entrepreneurship helped shape who you are today?
Well, when you ask me about moments or events, I think more about the people, the who, not the hows, right? The people that we're introduced to and the relationships that are created. And through those bonds, ideas are created. You being one of those people, different coaches, different individuals within those groups and the influence that they have on my life and hopefully the positive influence I have on their life. The 2 and 3 day weekends that you spend at the beach with a buddy you just met at a mastermind. It's those moments where you just pivot a little bit and you go back with some positive influence. You're in Guatemala for 5 days and you can't express to the people back home what you learned in Guatemala, but you come back and you're just a little bit different. You're a little bit better and it pivots your mind. It pivots your direction. And through that, you start to go after something new. And so I think more than anything, it's the events and the relationships that create those big pivotal moments, at least in my life, that's what it's been. And we'll get into kind of the surgery part later, but that moment, the hardship surrounded by that was a huge opportunity to grow, to learn, to be challenged. It was all through discomfort. So I think I've gotten more growth out of discomfort and relational connection than anything else.
You're speaking my language. You know that. And last time I saw you was at a mastermind and I had the opportunity, super fortunate to get on stage and just speak. And it was about relationship capital. And yep. I know you and I kind of cut from the same cloth, man. I'm curious, was it always like that for you as far as understanding the importance of quality key relationships, having the right people in your corner? Or is that something that you stumbled upon or learned through experience? I'm just kind of curious if you've always been wired that way to value relationships and to seek deep, meaningful connections with the right people. Or is that something that just kind of you started to learn the importance as you started as an entrepreneur?
I think certainly more so as I started to grow and learn as an entrepreneur. I mean, when you get into moving in your own direction, whatever direction that is, almost every book that you read on success, mindset, creation, it's all based around the people that you surround yourself by, the lessons that you learn, the fuel that feeds your mind. What you put in your mind creates thoughts. Your thoughts become words. Your words become actions. Your actions become habits and your habits become your life. Mm-hmm. And so as you go through those processes, if you start to feed yourself the wrong fuel, you're going to burn dirty. If you want to burn clean and you want to be a top fuel dragster, you need high octane fuel. And that's not just the food that you feed yourself. It's not just the exercise you introduce in your life. It's the people that speak into your mind. It's the books you read. It's the podcasts you listen to. And more importantly, it's the people you surround yourself with. If you've got negative energy around you, you're going to create a negative environment. If you've got positive energy around you, if you've got support, if you've got camaraderie, if you've got the ability to be vulnerable and open and empathetic, you have the ability to grow beyond where you'll ever get if you're closed off, closed-minded, and negative. Even before I went off on my own, I really found that the people that I followed that were successful, that were living lives like I wanted to live, were positive mindset. They valued their time. And by that, I mean the time that they spent was calculated and spent with people that created positive influence in their life. And so I tried to mirror that. So definitely not something that came easy, but something that came with practice and intentionality.
I want to encourage people to rewind this podcast for 2 to 3 minutes and listen to what Steven just shared with you, because there's so much wisdom in everything he just shared. And I co-sign and echo every single syllable that you just uttered, dude, because you are so spot on. At least I truly, truly believe that the quality of our lives is shaped, influenced, and impacted by the people that we consciously choose to put in our path. This is not to put this on anybody listening, right? So whatever your beliefs are, your beliefs, and I respect that. But my belief is that God is always operating for me and putting the people in my way that he wants me to connect with, that I'm meant to impact and vice versa, I kind of have this visual of him going like, okay, that person's not for you. Get them out of your way. And it's when I choose to make decisions based on what I want that oftentimes I fail versus in this season I'm in of just trying to be guided, right? What I'm sharing with you isn't so much about like, hey, believe in God or not. That's my belief. But it's like whoever you believe in or whatever you believe in, the higher power I truly believe is what's guiding us. And when we lean into that, whether it be relationships, whether it be to your point, Stephen, the books we choose to read, the shows on TV that we lean into that serve us or don't serve us, what we put in our body, it's all helping shape who you are. I was at the gym this morning, dude, and for the last probably like 2 months, twice a week, I've been cold plunging in 40 degrees and I've been working my way up. I started at 3 minutes, then I got to 5, then I got to 7. Today I did 12 minutes and I was talking to one of the trainers there and we had a conversation that somewhat mirrored a little bit of what you just shared. And he was like, dude, you just got to stack the small wins. And if you stack a couple of wins each day, you're going to have a successful day. And then you stack those and that becomes a successful week. You stack the weeks and so on, months, years. And then you stack enough years, you're going to have an awesome life. And he shared something with me. He's like, when you did this 2 months ago, you were uncomfortable at 3 minutes. Now here you are doing this at 12 minutes. And he's like, I bet you anything, you're starting to get more comfortable with the discomfort. And I think everyone listening, if you take anything from what we've shared so far in this short episode, is figure out how to put yourself in uncomfortable situations and environments that you know are actually healthy for you and are going to make you stretch. Like, dude, as an example, I referenced the opportunity to speak. Even though I've done quite a bit of speaking throughout the years, I'm not somebody who's always out there hitting, like, it's not my jam, right? I don't love to travel to go hit. And even that, like there's always this nervous energy, but you know it's positive. You know it's healthy. You got to immerse yourself in those types of situations. And it comes by surrounding yourself with people that are going to uplift you. So who are some of the people for you, dude, that have lifted you up when you were down? You knew you could pick up the phone and call, like, and you don't have to name specific names, right? But like, were you intentional about seeking these people out? Or did they just come from the relationships that were formed from joining these masterminds?
Well, I think a little bit of both. I'm always looking for somebody who's great to be around, right? It just feels good to be around great people. I think foundationally, I'd have to give a ton of kudos to my mom and dad. I mean, my dad really gave me a hard push when it came to starting my business. He helped me really jump over that edge. My mom's always there to pick up the phone when I just want to tell a cool story. My brother's doing great these days. So I have an amazing family. My wife is super supportive. So those are the closest people to me. In the groups that we go to, I mean, you know, Mike Wagner, he's one of my best friends. He's been really guiding me lately. Terry Royce, I can call it almost any time. He gives me a ton of positive influence. I can show up to his door, knock on it, and there's a bed to sleep in. So there's been coaches through my life that have really helped me. Our good friend, Chuck, he's no longer with us. But when you say lean into it or get comfortable being uncomfortable, man, my license plate says lean into it. That came from Chuck. I used to put that on the top of my laptop when I started my business. And those guys are always in my mind and they're always speaking to me. I've got an awesome personal trainer who's super positive and influential. I meet with investors here locally on a regular basis. That was the first thing I did when I quit my job, was I just started meeting young investors that I knew were doing well. And by that, I thought they were doing well based on the business that they were running. And now I've got a handful of guys around here, amazing wholesalers, amazing business guys. They're good parents, they're good husbands, right? So not just are they good business owners, but they're good influences in other parts of my life. There's one guy that I meet for breakfast once a month. Sometimes we're off and sometimes we're on, but I turn to him. He's a great biblical mentor for me. He really leads his family from a biblical perspective, and I appreciate that. I need more of that in my life. So each person that I choose to go and have an hour and a half-ish lunch with or maybe coffee with, it's because I want to give to them and I want to receive greatness from them. Like the reciprocity in the relationship is really important to me. Because we come back and as entrepreneurs, we're very much singled out. We're individualistic. we're going in a path that most people don't agree with, or most people won't follow is probably a better way to put it, because you have to intentionally put yourself in these uncomfortable positions.
That's right.
You're making offers on properties you don't know if you're going to do well on, but you got to make that offer. You got to get on the plane. You got to go look at it. You got to pay the freight. And that time is spent uncomfortably. You don't have your kids with you. You're in a hotel you might not want to be in a town you don't really want to play in, but you're doing it because when you come back, there's going to be growth at the end of it. You're going to create something. And so you come back and you get these little moments with these people who have gone through similar moments, and you get to share those moments with those people, and they guide and they direct. And so I really believe in the people that are around me, and 100%, man, without the people that are around me, that back me, that support me, I couldn't do what I do every day. I need the support. I need somebody to say, attaboy. And there's no boss. There's nobody above me. It's the people that surround me that push me forward that make me great. I just wholly and fully believe in that.
I love that phrase that you threw in there, pay the freight. I don't think I've ever quite heard it that way. And it hit me right between the eyes. To be successful, you got to pay the freight. And you have to be so intentional about the relationships and making deposits, right? Just think of making deposits on a daily basis into the people you connect with. Like what Steven and I are doing right now, this is a deposit into our relationship, right? And I'm introducing him to you guys and reintroducing in some cases. And this inspires me, right? Like hearing his story, like I just grabbed that little nugget, pay the freight. And it's something that now I can apply to my life moving forward. And it's just deposit into my mindset versus we all kind of have, and I shouldn't say we all, right? I hate to speak in generalities, but some of us have buddies from like high school or back in the past that like you care for them, right? But the relationship has become somewhat superficial, right? Like you pretty much only talk about sports or things that don't move the needle in our lives. And I'm not here to condemn that or say that there's anything wrong with it, but that should be few and far between. It shouldn't make up the majority of your relationships. Like, are you having, do a thought audit on the conversations you have with people. And are they deep? Are they meaningful? Do they challenge you? Do they get you to think just a little bit differently? Or are you comfortably surrounding yourself with people that only agree with you? Or are yes, ma'am, or yes, ma'am, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, right? Like that's not going to help you grow. And so when you think about this analogy of just stacking the wins, apply that to the relationships. And it's not necessarily, and I don't know, you might disagree with me, Steven, and feel free to chime in, dude, but I don't think it's about the quantity of these types of relationships. I think it's about the quality. And I think if you just consistently and continually immerse yourself in these types of environments, organically, the quantity will grow. But you're going to find that, dude, you got your core, right? And these are the people that really uplift you and challenge you. So along these same lines, but I want to shift a little bit, dude. This question isn't so much about what you think the economy and the market's going to do, because that'd be a kind of a weird transition, but it kind of plays in. I was listening to somebody who runs a pretty big community, and obviously I run Ascend with Steve, and you and I met in a different mastermind. And so there's all these communities out there, some good, some not so good. And this one guy was saying that like he has noticed people leaving his community because of the fear, the uncertainty in the market. He was sharing that generally speaking, people are starting to be a little bit tighter with their funds in many cases. And dude, my belief, and I don't know if you agree or disagree, man, so feel free to share. My belief is that now more than ever, considering, I mean, we've had an easy street for the last 10, 12, 13 years, right? Like everybody's been making money. And I think the next several years are going to be interesting. I think now more than ever is when you have to plug more, assuming you're in the right communities, you got to plug in more. Like you said this a little while ago, dude, but you don't have to figure this out alone. And if you do, you're going to fail. And if you succeed, you could have avoided a lot of heartache. You and I have the ability to pick up the phone. I can call you and I know you'll take my call and answer my questions or just support or just listen. And we have a number of people we can do that with. Why do you think people are starting to unplug from the things that you and I are talking about that give you energy, that give you value, that help you grow, that stretch you?
I think that there's a really easy transition back into a fear-based mentality. Because our mind is created to protect us, right? So we want to protect whatever that may be, your emotions, your physical being, your mental space, your time. You're created to protect, right? That's what your mind's going to go to first. When you start to move to abundance That's when you really have to challenge your own personal thoughts, not just the thoughts of those around you. So when you surround yourself with people who are already of abundance mindset, already of abundant living, and I don't mean that through wealth, I mean that through thought process, right? If you're thinking in an abundance mentality and you surround yourself with abundance minded people, you're going to naturally guide yourself into a positive space. I believe that. I'm not saying there's no turmoil. I'm not saying there's no difficulty. What I'm saying is that if you focus on the fear, you're going to fight, flight, or freeze. If you focus on the abundance, you're going to create. And I think through the power of creation, you'll change the world. And so when you get into these groups, not only is it a community of support, but it's a community, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a transactional community, meaning I can buy in our group, I can sell in our group, I can borrow in our group, I can find deals in our group, right? I can find a dad issue in my group and say, this is my real problem. I can find help with my wife in this group. I can find help with my family in this group. I can find help with almost anything I want within these groups. So I don't have to go back to being afraid of losing these things, right? I can focus on creating a better space for these things, meaning the relationships that I support. So I believe that the community is the most important thing that you have around you. It'll either create for you or very easily it can take from you. And that's when it's time to release that energy, release those people from your life, and go focus on the abundant-minded people, because that's where the growth is.
Amen, bro. Amen. I think it's probably been 12 or 13 years that I have consistently been plugged into some type of community. And to me, it's as important as food, air, and water. And I realize that sounds like hyperbole and it's very overstated, right? But man, it's that important to me to be surrounded with guys like you. Again, it's inspiring. It's challenging you. It stretches you. And for me, if you're not growing for an extended period of time, that's when you start to kind of wither away, man. And I don't mean like we all go through seasons, man. Sometimes I unplug and I don't feel like picking up and reading a book or listening to a podcast. Sometimes I go out on a walk now and I don't want to get plugged into something. I want to unplug. And I think that's very healthy and be mindful of that. Because the flip side is also true, right? Like you and I, I'm sure, have met people back in the day. We used to call them like seminar junkies. I don't know what the word is now. So if you're using that because it's comfortable, you can avoid actually doing the work, right? Like paying the freight, to use a Steven Johnson quote. That's also not healthy. If you're joining 27 masterminds and every month you're traveling to events, like ask yourself, do you have enough time to actually implement and execute and follow through? Or are you doing that because it's comfortable and it's you're preventing eating the frog, whoever the author was that talked about eating the frog first thing in the morning. So man, I want to kind of move along here, and I feel bad, man, because you and I have known each other for a number of years, and I didn't know, or maybe I just don't remember, that you had a major life event happen in 2021. So if you're willing to talk about just leading up to that, what were some of the challenges, what happened, and then coming out on the other side of it, how was that adversity? How has that shaped you and how have you grown as a result of that experience?
That's a lot of questions. We'll see if we can move through them.
We'll unpack it. Yeah.
Yeah. In 2001, I was hit by a drunk driver on a motorcycle, and it was a pretty catastrophic event. One of the byproducts of that event is I had a stent put in my leg. My hip was shattered. And subsequently, they saved my life by doing so. Fast forward to 2021, I was a triathlete. I love triathlon, mostly because in 2001, they told me I couldn't run. So I started bicycling and I started running. And I don't really particularly enjoy running, but I love the mental overcoming of completing a run is the best way to put it, right? And so I started running and decided the craziest thing I could do is a triathlon. And so I started doing triathlon for almost a decade here in Florida. And I really enjoyed it. I love the community. The people are positive. Generally speaking, those people have more free time because it's a sport that requires a little bit of money, but more so it needs the time to train. And so the people that were in it, I really connected with. In 2019, I finished an Olympic distance triathlon, and I was really proud of that fact. I was excited. I tried to do one the year before, nearly broke my ankle right before that. And so I ended up doing a sprint distance with a hurt ankle. because Chuck Bauer, our friend, was doing it and he was doing it with me and I could not do it with Chuck. So I ended up doing a sprint instead of an Olympic distance. And then a year later, I picked back up and I noticed I just wasn't running right. And in 2020, I couldn't run for 90 seconds, literally 90 seconds. And my leg would start to go numb. I'd get a lot of pain in my thigh. And so I went and got some tests done. And it turned out that that stint had closed up. My leg had closed up. And so we didn't know at the time, but after surgery, we found out I had 100% blockage in my femoral artery, which is the main artery that feeds your leg. Now, just like a highway, there was a lot of cross streets that allowed blood to flow to my leg. So I could walk flights of stairs without feeling it. And just 2 years before that, I was full-blown triathlon. So it was kind of a punch to the face for a guy like me who works out excessively. That is truly one of my outlets. Yeah. And so I wasn't able to work out, which created a lot of physical and mental stress for me. I lost that outlet and that started to really impact the way that I reacted at home rather than taking the time to respond. I was really reacting, which is not where I want my head to be.
Right.
I want to be responsive. I don't want to be reactive. It's just more productive. And so I'm going to skip all the hardships of insurance. That's a conversation for a whole nother day. But we were able to get into the surgery. I had the surgery in 2021. It took way too long to actually get the surgery. It was right around COVID or during COVID we were trying to get in. And so there was insurance challenges. There was COVID challenges. But I had an amazing doctor. He went in. He performed the surgery. I was a very healthy patient. They were very happy to have me. Most of the patients that they had at that time, they were smokers. They were elderly. Mm-hmm. Their arteries were closed up because of the way they lived their life, not because of conditions from the past, right? Mm-hmm. Mine was caused by the accident. And so we had a successful surgery. And I'm certain that the mindset going into that surgery was why I came out so good. I started prepping months beforehand. I started walking. I started training, just pull-ups, push-ups, squats. I wanted to strengthen my legs, strengthen my core, strengthen my body. So my body went in strong, not weak. I wanted to go into surgery strong so I could come out strong. I fueled my body ahead of time with extra proteins, extra enzymes, extra fuel that I thought I would need during the surgery. And this is weeks and months ahead of time. I really wanted to go in strong so my body had everything it needed physically. Mentally, I visualized myself months ahead of time. I visualized myself walking out of surgery. And to say that's not a high probability might be an understatement. I got two pretty deep scars in my right leg and my abdomen from the surgery. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I knew in my mind that I was going to walk out of that surgery, that I was going to walk out of the hospital. And so I don't remember if I went in Thursday or Friday, but I was supposed to get out on Monday and I was released on Saturday. Wow. Early release because I was doing so good. When they rolled me down, I got up out of the wheelchair and I walked to my truck. I wanted to walk out of the surgery. And so I did that. And I truly believe not only was I supported by somebody who was there to help me walk, but at the same time, I visualized myself walking out of there. I told myself I was walking out of there. Nobody was going to tell me that I wasn't walking out of there. And I didn't know that to be a fact, but that's what I wanted to create. And so through preparation physically, mentally, and visually, I believe that that surgery went as well as it could have gone. And I walked out of there in the best shape I could have walked out of there because of those practices.
Yeah.
And so I guess I'll just pause there. And
I appreciate you, man, for having that awareness because I'm jotting notes here and there's so many things I want to ask you about, dude. You just said something at the end that I kind of want to start with. You said because of your preparation mentally, physically, and visually, was there a spiritual component at all involved?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, man. I mean, when I visualize, I always think about my higher power, you know, my God. And so there was prayer all around me. We were surrounded by prayer warriors. There's people in our groups praying. My parents were praying. My wife was praying, or my wife's parents were praying. So there was prayer all around us. And through visualization, I believe in the connection of spirit and higher power and universe and vibrations and energy. I believe in the energy and the power of visualization. And I also believe that without the visualization and without feeling that energy, you can't truly embrace it. And you'll feel it physically when you start to embrace it. And I believe that when I went into surgery, I already saw myself coming out. It wasn't, am I coming out of this surgery? It wasn't, oh my goodness, I hope that I'm going to come out and be able to walk. It was, I'm going to shoot for the moon. And if I only reach the stars, that's going to be a great place to be. So had I not walked out of the surgery, I know I would have been in a better place mentally, spiritually, and physically just through the practices beforehand.
Amen, man. What a blessing, dude. Hearing your story is an inspiration. And this happened after you and I met and spent time in Guatemala. I'm grateful now. The timing must have been right for you and I to connect and for you to share this story, because I really think what you just shared, man, is a winning formula to succeed in any aspect of your life. I heard you say back in the early 2000s, you tragically got hit by a drunk driver, and yet you turned that tragedy into triumph, right? You said, they told me I couldn't run again. And you said, I'm going to become a triathlete. Yeah. And you started biking and you started doing all the things. So you went from, hey, you're not going to run again, dude, to no, F you, I'm going to become a triathlete. You didn't identify as a runner, right? Like, that wasn't your identity. Yeah. You probably didn't enjoy it. They told you you weren't going to do it. So think about how easy it would have been for you to just accept someone else's limiting belief on your life. How easy would that have been? And yet you went against the grain, you pushed back, and you said, I'm going to become a triathlete. And now that became your identity, right? And then fast forward 2 decades later, as a result of that accident, you have this. And then, dude, the fortitude, just the mindset to not go in, because there's one thing to be positive. You prepped mentally, spiritually, physically, visually, like you prepped months in advance of that. And as a result, I have no doubt that that's the reason you walked out of there on your own 2 feet, on your power. You took positivity to another level. Because again, I think I'm a very positive person, generally speaking, even though I have my moments, I think like anybody else. But your story really just resonates with me because you took it to another level. The only thing I would challenge that you said, I didn't know this to be true, that I was going to walk out. I believe deep down inside, you did know it to be true because you visualized it. You saw it happening. And if anything, I think, man, it speaks to the power of our mind and the mindset and everything you've shared today, from the environment, the people, the groups, which, by the way, they're all connected, right? Like one feeds the other, right? Like the people you surround yourself with strengthen your mindset. I'm sure there were tools that you took from relationships and from masterminds you're a part of that fed you leading into this. I'm sure you had a support system, your wife and everybody else around you. So man, I encourage people to listen to this podcast episode again, because while I had every intention to ask you about creative financing on this show, what we've talked about, in my opinion, is infinitely more powerful. And creative financing, you and I know, is pretty powerful. What we've talked about, I think, is what people needed to hear. I want to acknowledge you and appreciate you, dude, for sharing your stories. And that's part of the reason I continue to do this podcast 7 years later, is to draw out the adversity from people and how it's helped shape them.
Yeah, David Goggins calls it your dark side, right? You got to access your dark side. And you mentioned in the beginning that you didn't know that we went through that. And I think that during those months, it was very important that I just go into my own world, into my own space, into my dark side, if you will, right? And find that heat, that fire, because you're going to be uncomfortable and you need to get comfortable in that space. I find a lot of good power in David Goggins. And he also says that you've earned it, right? When he's done with one of his crazy races where he runs, I don't know, 1,000 miles in an hour or whatever it is.
Whatever. 20,000 like pull-ups or something, or chin-ups in like 4 seconds. Crazy. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. And then he goes back to his house to just sit in his bathtub and be in pain. He's like, you earned it. Like, this suffering is yours. Enjoy it. Earn it. So I really try to get into that space. If it's uncomfortable, it's because I've earned it, either through the habits of the past or the creation of greater habits for the future. You've got to go through that in order to grow.
What's that quote? I don't know who said it, but it's something that I try to constantly remind myself of. It's don't ask for life to be easier. Ask for the strength. I think to me, that kind of puts a bow on a lot of what you've just shared, bro, is work on yourself, man. The best investment you can make, in my opinion, is a relationship with God. And right behind that is just investing in yourself. And that takes many different shapes and sizes from, again, the communities, the relationships, the things you consume, you put in your body, not just food and drink, but just the words, everything, man. All this is an investment in yourself. When I ask you a question about like, hey, we could go through a severe recession or the economy hits the fan and things are crazy, don't ever not invest in yourself. Nobody can take it away from you. If you continue to strengthen your mind and your body, yourself spiritually, your soul, all that, whatever's happening on the external, you can overcome, right? Especially when you got an army of supporters behind you that are going to pick you up, because you're going to fall down, you're going to get knocked out, you're going to get hit, but it's how are you going to get up and how are you going to come back? Hopefully that didn't sound too rah-rah inspirational. It's just how I genuinely feel. And I know we connect on that on many levels.
Absolutely.
Awesome, dude. Awesome. My man, I really appreciate you again. We can have you back on the show to talk creative financing and your journey, right? Like I know you transitioned from single family to storage and you and your wife are just, dude, you guys are doing awesome when it comes to storage. We're a part of a group. So I get kind of a front row view to like a lot of what you guys have been doing. And it's been great, man, to see you lean into that new business because you're an expert when it comes to single family. I mean, you've done several hundreds of deals. You're really good at structuring deals and creative finance and all that. And you said, hey, man, I think maybe this surgery was an opportunity to slow down. And now maybe this is something that's going to enhance my vision. And it's just been really cool, man. So any final thoughts you have on just anything I've shared just now with the transition into storage or just in general, man, I want to kind of just give you the floor to wrap us up here.
I think the storage is another opportunity to get uncomfortable. It's a growth opportunity. It's a new adventure. And I'm a serial adventurer, man. I love all the fun stuff. I love to play. I love to have a good time. I was at Adventure Island with my little girls and my wife on Tuesday. So it's a Tuesday and everybody else is doing what they're doing and I'm playing in Adventure Island. So I really think that there's a lot of spirit and growth in connecting with better people, better experiences, putting yourself in uncomfortable positions and persevering. When you said, don't ask me for an easy life, ask me for the strength, right? I might have bobbled that quote a little bit, but in that strength, you're going to be given obstacles, right? And you have to overcome those obstacles. You're not going to gain the strength without overcoming something difficult. And every time that you do, you're going to come out the other side just a little bit better. And that's that 1% every day. And so I really believe in that stuff. I believe in the power of mindset. I believe in the power of people. And I believe in the power of relationships. And this right here is just a great example of that.
Yeah, my man. I feel like I lied because something came up for me that I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, man, because it's something I've kind of not wrestled with, but it's just been a thought of mine. And then we'll wrap up after this question. But several months ago, I was at a 3-day spiritual retreat and I was staying in kind of like a compound with 20-something men, most of which I didn't know. It was a little uncomfortable, but it was a very safe, comfortable environment. And it was an opportunity to draw closer to God and explore my spirituality more. And I had the opportunity to sit back and witness and hear story after story of men, fathers, husbands, family men, entrepreneurs who went through unspeakable circumstances from abuse as children, abuse as young men, to losing a daughter or a son, like as recently as of 12 months ago. I believe I'm a pretty strong individual inside and out. And yet I'm so grateful and fortunate that I never had to experience a severe, crazy tragedy like that, like losing a child. And I found myself kind of questioning, like, I remember like listening to a couple stories where I'd get emotional because I put myself in their shoes and I'm like, I don't know how I could deal with that pain. And I know intellectually that the answers, draw closer to God, family, friends, like intellectually, I know the answer, but I found myself sitting in that chair, listening to some of these like crazy stories and saying, would I have the strength to overcome? Could I get up in front of a room of men and just speak openly and freely less than 12 months after losing a child? And you hear the stories of how their outlook on life, how positive it is, despite some of these crazy situations that they've gone through, from abuse to losing a loved one and everything in between. And you're like, man, be careful what you ask for. And yet I've gotten comfortable with the fact that, like, I hope I never have to go through something crazy. But I believe if I ever did, because of my connection to God, because of relationships and friendships and family, I'd overcome. And I don't know if you've ever had some of those, if you've ever questioned yourself, like, I know I'm strong, I want to lean into the dark side, but please don't ever put me through something like this.
I think none of us want that kind of lesson taught to us. And that's beyond my control.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have control over that. And I probably wouldn't ask that question. Would I, or do I have the strength? I'm sure I do, but I don't need to find that strength today.
That's right.
There's just other things that I can focus my energy and my strength upon that are going to create greater impacts in my world and other people's worlds.
That's right.
So I would significantly rather focus on the present moment, even the future moment, rather than relishing on the what ifs, because I don't have control over the what ifs.
That's right.
You know, I have control over my response. I have control over the love that I give. I have control over the choices that I make, but I don't have control over who's taken from me and who's not. That's not in my control. That's and right. If it is, then I'm going to do something about it now.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not, then I'm just going to have to let that go. When that day presents itself, we'll determine it then.
Well said, dude. And I couldn't think of a better way to end the show. Brother, I so appreciate you, man. I'm grateful for the friendship. Where can people just get connected to you, reach out if they have any questions, if they want to maybe explore something you've shared, or just start to build a relationship, really? Because you and I are connectors. We want to foster bringing people together. And so how can people do that?
Yeah, man, you can catch me. My email is leanintoitsj@gmail.com. You can catch me on Facebook, Stephen Johnson 1102. It's Stephen with a PH. Those are probably the two best ways. Just message me, email me. I'm pretty easy to get a hold of. I enjoy talking to people and connecting with like-minded people. So reach out anytime.
I love it, man. I love it. Well, dude, again, thanks, man. And second time having you in the show. And we went even deeper, man. Then I think we gave people what they were supposed to hear. They can get the strategy and the how-to anywhere. This is the stuff that really matters and kind of fires us both up. So thank you, brother.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it. I'm very grateful to be here.
Guys, thank you for supporting the show. Share this with somebody, right? Like, that's how you can be a go-giver. That's how you can. It's just when you hear something valuable, share it with others, whether it's this show or another show. But I really encourage you to continue to plug in so that you're notified every Monday. Subscribe to the show, share it, and I'm going to continue to do my best to put the best people in front of you and just provide content, good, bad, and in between, lessons learned. So thank you so much. We'll connect in the next one. Take care. All right, my friend, I hope you enjoyed that Flip Empire episode and got a lot of value out of it. Make sure to check the show notes page for any resources that were mentioned. And speaking of resources, honestly, I don't think I've done the best job of sharing with you my top curated, highly recommended tools and resources that I use in my business or have used in my business. In some cases, these are affiliate relationships with people that I highly trust and respect. And I know these tools and resources can help you and your business go to the next level. And as an ethical bribe, if you decide to try out one of these resources using my link, I will go ahead and send you an unadvertised bonus. I'll send you something of high value. All you got to do is shoot me an email, alex@flipempire.com. Go ahead and let me know that you tried out this resource, and however I can help you getting started with that, chances are that I know it very, very well and currently use it or have used it. So make sure to check that out, flipempire.com/resources. And if I can be of help or service to you in any way, just shoot me an email, alex@flipempire.com, and I will do anything I can for you. Have an amazing day, and I'll catch you on the next show.